Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
All right, you're welcome along to Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Busy show ahead. John Giles, as always, coming away at 7:30. It's Chelsea against Spurs in the second leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final. Both clubs facing plenty of issues at the moment, both on and off the pitch. We'll chat to John about that. You can get your texts in for him on 53106. Then after 8 o'clock, 11-time All-Ireland winner Bree Stack is going to join us in studio. She has announced her retirement from playing inter-county football with the Cork Senior Footballers. So she'll be with us after 8 o'clock. Luke Jensen coming your way between now and 9 o'clock as well, filling us in on everything that's been going on at the Australian Open and then the football show coming up. We'll hear from Stephen Kenny, who was announcing his first homegrown under 21 squad today for a little get together over the next while. His first press conference out in Abbottstown since taking charge of the under 21s, and we'll hear from that. And we'll also fill you in again on the pro license that is going on at the moment and how people can work through the system if they want to get to that level of coaching in Ireland. So that's coming up on the football show from 9 o'clock. Richie is here. How are you?
Hey, Nathan. You all right?
And Dave McIntyre, what a treat.
How are you? Are you well?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm great. Very nervous.
Seen you in a while.
I'm surprised you've shown your face in here this week without there being any bloodletting, given what was said about you on air.
It was disgraceful, the attack.
Tuesday night.
Well, at least you got mentioned. I got completely forgotten about.
Probably a good call.
I was in the car.
So this is our match that's taking place on Monday, the most overhyped game of football there's ever been in association with the Irish Heart Foundation.
Yeah.
So you are king of the dubs.
I'm one of the dubs.
One of the dubs.
Yeah. Self-appointed king of the dubs.
Are you one of these people who's very angry that they won't allow the flag to be put on the Halfpenny Bridge anymore?
No, it's not something
I've... Up the dubs?
Up the dubs.
Not something I've lost any sleep
over. If you win this match, maybe they'll allow you to put it back up.
Well, maybe it's...
What was said about you?
That, you know...
You're all mouth and no trousers, essentially.
He mentioned Phil Egan, who's also part of the Dublin team, and that Phil, you know, he's like Dave McIntyre. He's in the gym a lot, very fit.
Very much.
Give him the ball, though, and it's a disaster.
So that's fair enough.
I thought that was incredibly harsh. Incredibly harsh.
I've played football with you. You're basically all mouth and all energy.
Those two are definitely true.
A great organiser.
An absolute disaster when the ball goes anywhere near me. I'm certainly not Leo Messi. But I thought that was a little bit harsh now. And in particular, I thought it was very harsh on Phil. But it wasn't just me. But then, of course, I thought the news round was over, and then I texted Mr. Kilbane and said a really savage attack. That's very sad. And then all I hear is Malloy going, "Phone's lighting up there, Kev. This is all live on air." Yeah, I've just got a message from Dave McIntyre, and then that message is read straight out on air. But look, just you know, going forward, everybody associated with Off the Ball, do not trust Kilbane, because you never know when he'll hang you out there to dry.
Well, I think that was a given anyway.
I think we all knew that. Well, listen, the talking will stop come Monday lunchtime, Dave, and it will be live for everybody to see your footballing talent.
Underdog status is something I hope will serve us well on Monday.
So, Mossy Quinn has been drafted in, I see.
He has.
Captain the Dubs.
Yeah.
Right.
Drafted in, swanning around with the captain's armband. I texted him earlier to tell him we expect a massive performance from him.
We should mention the big news from Off the Ball today, that we've lost one of our presenters.
Yes.
Take him on for the team.
Jerry Gilroy is the new under-21 assistant manager.
I just can't understand this, Dave. We have spent years working here, just talking football.
Yeah.
You know, sharing our wisdom, sharing our footballing knowledge.
Displaying a huge level of expertise.
And I never got a call from Stephen Kenny.
No. 10 years I was in this job and I never got asked to coach any of the Irish sides, let alone the senior side, no under-age side. And he just...
Not even the under-15s.
He spent
not
a few months as a
ball boy for the under-15s. Yeah. Keith Andrews rocks up, does 6 months, and he gets the call to be assistant manager of the Ireland under-21s.
I'm not impressed.
I'm not impressed either.
It's the hair.
And literally, I don't understand why he wasn't here today. The press conference was at 2 o'clock. His show was at 12:30. No sign of him.
It doesn't bode well for his levels of commitment. Stephen Kenny aware of how wishy-washy he could potentially be?
Well, I was out there today and I just thought I'd fill him in.
Midway through the Toulon tournament, Andrews goes missing.
Out in a golf course somewhere, probably.
Listen,
wouldn't surprise anybody.
I'm busy, pal.
Spanking 300-yard drives down the middle.
So, this is big news. We're all very, very happy for Keith. Genuinely, he is one of the good guys. And that's a great opportunity for him to go in as part of Stephen Kenny's backroom team, particularly with the way Irish football is planned out for the next 4 years.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity for him. And you know, no disrespect to Noel King and previous squad announcements for the under-21s.
Just pause there for 1 second, Dave. Just pause for 1 second. The second, like, you're an experienced broadcaster. The second you say no disrespect, you're meaning disrespect.
No, not you are expecting me to be disrespectful towards
him. You're
going to
say something negative.
Sentence. I just don't ever recall there being a hullabaloo over the announcement of an under-21 squad for quite some time.
Mm.
And that's just an indication of the level of interest that is out there now with the appointment of Stephen Kenny as the under-21 manager, because we know what's coming down the track. This is only a short-term appointment, really, because the big job is not very far away on the horizon. And once we knew that Keith was involved as well and that it was going to be an all domestically based squad announcement, I just think there's, for the first time in a long time, we are now looking at the under-21s with a little bit of interest.
It makes a lot of sense, the two appointments as well. We'll get to them later. But both Keith and Jim Crawford have worked with the underage setups.
So Jim Crawford has stepped up from the under-18s. Keith was previously involved with the under-17s, which is this sort of
this group.
Age group.
Yeah, this age group, especially those that are still based at home. So it's like it's a strange bout of common sense has fallen over Abbottstown recently.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And I made that point to Stephen Kenny today about, as you say, what are they going to be judged on for the next 18 months? Because they've got 11 games this year. One of the other stories was that they're going to be in the Toulon tournament, which Ireland haven't been in about 15, 16 years.
They've only ever played it like 6 times, which is mad.
So, like, this is where the best young players in the world are going to be. It's going to be a big test for that group, because I was making the point, there is more interest in this under-21 side than there has ever been before. Mm. And he was making the point of, listen, there's results, they've 11 games this year, but also there's the other side, they're trying to develop players for senior internationals. I just wonder how the general public are going to assess the under-21s. Are they going to be patient? Are they going to read too much into results?
Well, they haven't read anything into results for the last 10 years.
But the under-21 manager was not going to take over as senior manager within
18
months.
I don't think there's an Irish football fan out there that believes the under-21 manager's failure to get results is a really obvious reflection on his lacking in abilities in certain managerial aspects, because everybody knows what the situation is with the 21s. You are not an under-21 player if you're under-21 and are playing to a high standard. You never really get the opportunity to excel for the under-21s. You're put straight into the senior squad, and that has been the case from really the last 10 or 15 years, that if you were playing to a decent standard, you're straight in with the big boys.
And that'll continue to be the case when Kenny's
there. Exactly.
Yeah, when you look at the two that are playing right now, Michael Obafemi and possibly Declan Rice, both of those are going to be part of the senior squad in March, not part of the under-21 squad for the qualifier against Luxembourg. It's an exciting opportunity. It's also going to be a tough enough test to develop players for the senior team, because he made the point today that of the under-21 players who are abroad at the moment, who are in England, none of them are playing first-team football at any level. There's a couple of guys down in League Two who are on loan from teams in the Championship who are getting a bit of football here and there. But by and large, guys are like Conor Masterson at Liverpool or Ryan Nolan at Inter Milan. They're playing under-23, under-19. Troy Parrott, who's playing underage level for Spurs. None of these guys are playing proper football where it means something every week. Like, under-23 is fine.
I'd imagine that's something that affects a lot of countries, not just Ireland. I'd say that's the case with a fair chunk of the England under-21 squad, a fair chunk of the Italian under-21 squad, and on it could go, because the stakes are too high for top-level club sides now for them to field, especially under-21 players or younger. So, like, the UEFA Youth League, as it's become, with the likes of Ryan Nolan and Troy Parrott playing there for Inter and for Spurs, has actually been a benefit to those types of players.
He was asked about Troy Parrott. We'll bring you some of these clips as well during the football show as to whether at his age he's going to bring him straight up to the under-21. Says he hasn't really made a decision as of yet, but Kenny's brief, remember, is over all the international teams, so he really doesn't have to talk about it with anybody else. His say is final in this. If he wants him,
he can go to himself and ask himself, should I be bringing Troy Parrott up to the under-21?
Look himself in the mirror.
early.
Well, I think, Stephen, do you want Troy... Do you want to get him
second.
In?
Wow.
Is he slagging off that he's the under-21 future senior manager's accent now?
Wow, are you doing a Stephen Kenny impression?
Well, maybe.
Wow.
That's the likes of Mario Rosenstock.
No, Richie can do...
I am far cheaper than Mario Rosenstock.
There's no question about that. Richie can do a fair impression from time to time. I'm just wondering if it's Stephen Kenny. It might need a little bit of work, but I like where you're going with it.
It's obviously a squad...
That kind of encouragement that you never get from McIntyre.
this is one of players who've never played or trained together before. That's not going to be easy for him. He's going to have to try and get these guys to gel pretty early, and he's not going to get an awful lot of time to work with them. I mean, they'll break up pretty soon after this. Then he's going to have a limited amount of time to prepare for the Toulon tournament, particularly when these guys start their new season in the League of Ireland. So
I guess
that's going to be really
shift.
Difficult.
Like, that'll be the interesting thing. Like, can he implement a culture shift for young players who are coming through and say, listen, I'm going to give you some freedom. I want you to go out and play football. I'll accept you making mistakes. If you're taking a risk, I'll accept that. And something that does last for the next 3 or 4 years, that then when they move up to the senior team, as some of them inevitably will, that there's that understanding there.
Yeah, that is why people are going to watch the under-21s play for the next few months. They're not going to go to the game anticipating a victory, particularly if they're against one of the more established nations in European football. They want to see what sort of a brand of football Stephen Kenny is trying to impose on these young players. If the ball has been played out to the fullback and it's been lumped down the sideline, well, everyone's going to shrug their shoulders and they probably won't go and watch the next game. But that is not what we expect from any Stephen Kenny managed team. It's certainly not what we expect from any team that has an influence from Keith Andrews in it, given the thoughts that we've heard from him on football over the last couple of years. And I'd be really interested. Yes, they're going to struggle to win games, but I'd be very interested to see what is the mindset of the team. What's in the goalkeeper's mind when he's got the ball at his feet? Where are the fullbacks? Are the two centre-halves splitting? Are the fullbacks pushing inside? Are the wide men pushing inside? Where are the front two, if there's one or two? Where are they stationed? Are they happy to get the ball into their feet? And are central midfield players happy to receive the ball with their back to a man and try and turn with it? That's what we want to see.
Not asking for much.
No. Just a couple of those boxes to be ticked would be very
good. Don't worry, listeners. We've got our best people working on it already. We're going through all the Keith Andrews shows. Every single one. His little tactics board where he's pointing out all the flaws of everybody else of how football should be played, and we're putting them into a nice little package that we'll be holding against them after every under 21 match.
Yeah, there's the encouragement Richie's talking about.
Yeah. All right, so plenty more to come on Stephen Kenny and the under 21s. We'll hear from him shortly, but also on the football show from 9 o'clock. Where are we starting, Richie?
We'll start with Cardiff, because Cardiff City say their thoughts are with the family and friends of Emiliano Sala and pilot David Ibbotson, as well as the fans and connections of Nantes. It follows the news that the search for the plane that was carrying the Argentine striker has been called off. Sala's sister Romina made an emotional plea today for the search to continue, and Cardiff chief executive Ken Hsu can understand her desperation.
She made an impassioned plea for the search to continue, and both to us and to the South Wales police. But we have a jurisdiction problem, and we have to respect the relevant jurisdiction and authorities to continue with it. We will pass on her message to the relevant authorities to continue the search, but it's really up to the relevant authorities and professionals to make that decision. So we can do what we can from our end, and we can continue to pray and support her and the family, which is very important for us. That's why I was there last night. That's why I was there today, to give as much support to her and the family.
Yeah, it's just a dreadful story all around, and to have the search called off within, 3 days?
Yeah, is that down to a resource issue, a finance issue? You would think with the status of the clubs involved that it certainly shouldn't come down to a financial issue. Maybe
no, I think that was probably the point he was trying to make there, that like, this is very much a decision for the... Yeah.
And I know there is a sense of hopelessness in terms of the possibility of the search yielding something, but I mean, talk about fate. You know, Cardiff City have gone in to try and sign this striker. You know, if they for some reason don't show any interest in this striker, this tragedy doesn't happen. But then that's just the way life works sometimes. But you can't imagine the heartache, the family. And I saw a press conference with his sister as well. And it's gut-wrenching seeing what they're going through.
What's next, Richie?
Yeah, we mentioned Keith Andrews. He has been confirmed as part of Kenny's backroom team with the Republic of Ireland under-21s. The former international midfielder will take up the role while working towards achieving a UEFA Pro licence. Also working alongside Andrews will be Jim Crawford, who has previously, as we mentioned, worked as the under-18s head coach. Meanwhile, Kenny has named a purely domestic-based squad for a February training camp. In all, 9 SSE Eritrea League clubs are represented, along with Ronan Hale of Crusaders and Linfield's Michael O'Connor. Kenny has also confirmed that his under-21 side will compete in June's Toulon tournament, and so will need Andrews and Crawford's experience.
Very dynamic people, you know, good positive people. Jim, I've known Jim a while, and he's obviously had great experience at with international coaching, through the age groups, and been the manager of the 18 team in the recent in the last couple of years. And Keith has been obviously coaching as well with MK Dons, and also with the under 17 and 18 international teams, and someone that has an awful lot to offer. I feel both of them, I feel, have a lot to offer. And you know, we will need that throughout the campaign. Of course, minimum of 4 games in Toulon over 14 days, so you need 2 coaches with you in that, you know, for that period for sure. And over the campaign, we'll be busy.
Tottenham take a 1-0 lead to Stamford Bridge for the second leg of their League Cup semi-final with Chelsea this evening. Manchester City awaiting the winners in next month's final at Wembley. Chelsea line out with Kepa Arrizabalaga in goal, Cesar Azpilicueta, David Luiz, Antonio Rudiger and Emerson as their back four. The currently popular Jorginho, N'Golo Kante and Ross Barkley in midfield, and then Pedro and Eden Hazard are either side of Olivier Giroud up front. For Spurs, Pelé Gazzaniga starts in goal. They've then got a back four of Serge Aurier, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen and Ben Davies. Eric Dier and Harry Winks are in midfield. In front of them, the trio of Moussa Sissoko, Christian Eriksen and Eric Lamela, with Fernando Llorente leading the line. Kickoff is at 7:45.
You know, it's not a bad Spurs team. It's even great, missing fine. Kane, Ali and Son.
I think the fear was that there was possibly going to be Sissoko missing from that team as well. But seeing their back four, which is pretty solid, seeing the midfield, again, pretty solid. And Llorente, who's managed to score goals in the absence of Harry Kane, it's not too bad.
Like, this is... If you're much of Pochettino, you're saying to Christian Eriksen, this is your chance. People often say that you're underappreciated, that you're outshone at times, and Harry Kane is the star of this team, Dele Alli is the star of this team. Next month, lead us to a cup final, win us a cup final. You're a legend.
I don't know if playing really well tonight will enhance the standing of Christian Eriksen in the eyes of Tottenham fans. I think they love him as it is. And I don't think an awful lot of them expect Eriksen to be at the club heading into the pre-season next season. I think he's probably going to be gone, whether that's Barcelona. I don't know, is that lessened by their signing of De Jong now, Frank De Jong going to Barcelona? But there will certainly be a queue of clubs that you feel will have a little more financial muscle than Tottenham once the season is completed. I don't know how much relevance tonight has on that. It does surprise me, well, not doesn't surprise me in that we knew exactly the makeup of the Tottenham squad, but it is such a drop-off from Harry Kane to Fernando Llorente. I know they have tried to bring guys in over the last couple of years and it hasn't quite worked out. Janssen, obviously, they paid a good bit of money for him and he just never got enough game time to even show us how good he could be.
Best rumour in the past 24 hours, Dave. Andy Carroll to Spurs.
Oh, I'd love it.
Seriously, that came up this afternoon and I nearly weed myself with laughter.
I do get the whole depth thing and they need to go and spend money, but they only ever want to play one up front. So how much money are you going to spend on a decent backup? Are you going to spend 50 million quid? Buy Callum Wilson?
Yeah, I understand that. But it is a very dangerous game to be playing with one really...
Well, maybe you have to be more malleable in your approach. And you have to sign, if there is an injury to Kane, you have to sign somebody and maybe alter your system to playing a front three.
Like, they play a front three as in the same way that Manchester United play a front three. Where, but they're wide, those guys in the Tottenham shirt that play either side of Harry Kane are certainly more... traditional wider players than Anthony Martial, Marcus Rashford, Alexis Sanchez, Jesse Lingard, all of whom can play through the middle, all of whom can play left or right of the central striker. So that if one or two of them go down with injury at Old Trafford, well, suddenly Ole Gunnar Solskjaer isn't in the same trouble that Pochettino is clearly in at the moment.
Yeah, but Fernando Llorente is not exactly a bum, like.
No, he's not. But he's, what, 32 years old. He's had hardly any opportunities to start really big games for Tottenham. And it's a huge ask for him to suddenly pick up the mantle. 34. For really difficult for him to come up and pick up the mantle left by Harry Kane in what are all massive games. Like, this is not an opportunity for him to feel his way in. They have to win these games. They have won a trophy now in 11 years come May, or come February, isn't it? It was the League Cup in 2008. And this is an absolutely massive game for Tottenham fans. They're not going to win the Premier League. They're not going to win the Champions League. I mean, they're two games away from winning a cup for the first time in over a decade. It's a massive match for them.
Yeah, so that gets underway at 7:45. John Giles will be with us very shortly. We'll be talking about what's going on at both clubs at the moment. Is Mick McCarthy being kept on as director of football after 2020? Asked Peter Buchanan in Wicklow. Right now, the answer is no. Right now, Mick McCarthy is leaving in August 2020. Come hell or high water, are lifting Euro 2020 trophy in glory at Wembley, he is walking out.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine if the best case scenario happened, there might be some role available for him, if necessary. I think the point Mick has made is, yeah, if I win Euro 2020, I'd be getting a gig in the Premier League.
There'd be a slew of clubs queuing for his signature if he leads Ireland to the promised land.
I don't think there is a role for a director of football also right now in the
internationally
FAI.
No.
Plus, would Stephen Kenny want Mick McCarthy looking over his shoulder having taken the big
job?
I really
not.
Don't think so.
Does the Poch brand get diluted if Spurs miss out on silverware again, or do cups even matter these days, says Daz?
They matter to fans, but to clubs themselves.
Whether or not it gets diluted, it certainly gets enhanced if they win a League Cup beating Chelsea in the semi-final and Manchester City in the final.
It's more obvious, tangible.
While probably missing
success.
Several players.
Yeah, it's more obvious, notable, measure of success. But like finishing in top four and being there or thereabouts in cup competitions, progressing in the Champions League, these are the things that clubs actually look at because it's what generates revenue for them.
Yeah, the board of directors are happy enough, or more than happy with the job that Pochettino was doing. But at some stage, you have to win something, and players don't want to look back on a 12-year career if they're lucky enough to play that long, or a 15-year career. And where did they catalogue the number of top four finishes they had? When their son asked them, what did you achieve when you played in the Premier League for 10 or 15 years? I was part of a top four finishing team for 12 years.
Have his kids ever asked them that?
Daddy, what did you win?
What did you win?
How many times did you finish top four?
Exactly. Are they going to ask that?
Yeah. They might.
It's the same when you're talking about golf.
How often did you play in the Champions League?
People try and
connect
the Ryder Cup and majors. No one knows how many Ryder Cups that Jack Nicklaus played, and no one knows how many Tiger Woods has played. I mean, we all know how many majors they won. No one's going to ask their dad, so tell me how many times you qualified for the Champions League.
You'd be surprised.
Are you not going to say, how often did you play in the Champions League?
Did you play in the Champions League?
Oh, you won a League Cup, did you?
Yeah. What's a League Cup?
What was that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Wouldn't it be better to be able to say that you played at the highest level, the Champions League level, for 7 or 8 years, but I also won 3 or 4 trophies? I mean, fans of Tottenham would like to see a trophy. They wouldn't swap it. They wouldn't swap it for a fifth place finish this season, obviously. They want both. But to go 11 years of your Tottenham, given the amount of money that's been invested in the squad and the stadium, as is now the case, and the amount of opportunities that they've had where they've come so close to winning a trophy, where they've failed at League Cup and FA Cup semi-final stages, I think tonight, with taking 1-0 lead into that second leg, getting to Wembley, and you're taking on the Premier League champions, it's a huge game and they need to win a trophy at some stage.
Teeing up your next story, Richie, a text in from Martin. Which Sky Sports pundit had a more apocalyptic debut in management, Neville or Henry?
Well, Monaco this evening have suspended manager Thierry Henry. Earlier today, the former Arsenal striker said he'd banished, quote, too many players to name to the reserves at the Ligue 1 side. At one point or another, says Henry, you need guys who want to save the club, not just think about their own futures. We have done some sorting. We are going to war. Monaco lost to Ligue 2 side Metz 3-1 in the Coupe de France on Tuesday night. They're currently second from bottom in Ligue 1, having won just twice in the top flight since Henry was appointed in October, when he signed a 3-year deal.
I have a little bit of sympathy for them.
For Henry or for Monaco?
For both. So, I don't know about you, I ended up commentating on a couple of Monaco games during the European campaign. Like, to say they were decimated with injuries is putting it mildly. They finished one of their games with 3 17-year-olds and 2 18-year-olds on the pitch. All their best players have struggled with injury. They had over a dozen players out. He expected them to come back, somebody else would get injured. They had a difficult run of fixtures when he took over. There was just never any momentum. Like, coming in with a group of teenagers, basically, was always going to be an impossible
Anybody
task.
Would have struggled in that job at the moment, but it definitely wasn't the job for a first-time manager, regardless of who he is, who he's played for, and what he's won. Like, that club is a mess, inside out, top to bottom. There are ownership issues there, and the ability for the owners to invest or not at the moment is under huge scrutiny and huge doubt. They started the season horrendously and were showing no signs before Henry arrived that they were going to be able to get themselves out of it. So, like, he was in a no-win situation. The best he could have done is steady the ship.
There's no chance you're going to win in this situation if you've banished half your squad
So explain this
reserves.
To me. He's sent half his squad to the reserves.
Yeah, saying that they're not putting in enough effort and he wants players
so
to go.
So all of those players now will have washed their hands mentally of their manager. So he needs them all, you know, digging in to try and get them out of the mess they're in. They're not going to do that for him. They'll all absolutely now will be thinking of their own futures. Who can I sign for once the transfer deadline or once the transfer window opens at the end of the season?
Do you think Sky want him back if he gets the sack?
Why? Because he did such an incredible job when
that's
he was
what
with
I'm
them.
Asked, that's
he
what
was
I'm
an amazing pundit, Nathan. Like, truly superb, top notch.
There's a lot of sympathy out there still from Irish fans.
No way, really.
Gary's plight.
I am shocked.
We're tight on time, Richie, but anything else?
Bringing some Leinster team news. Rob Kearney captaining a youthful Leinster side in tomorrow evening's Pro 14 meeting with the Scarlets at the RDS. He's been released from international duty along with Jack McGrath ahead of the Six Nations, both of whom have been given game time. Leo Cullen saying there's been no restrictions put upon him. Robert Ballacoon, Marty Moore and Stuart McCloskey retained their places in the Ulster side. That shows eight changes for tomorrow night's meeting with Benetton in Belfast. Former Leinster at half Ian McKinley will captain the side. And despite finally being named World Player of the Year, Jonathan Sexton is not on the 15-man shortlist for the 2019 European Player of the Year.
This is a load of nonsense.
Go on.
So this is for the European Player of the Year. It'll be announced EPCR, after May's yeah. Champions Cup final. Mm-hmm. Why are they doing a shortlist after the pool stages?
It is essentially...
If you want to have a mid-tournament team of the tournament, then fine. Like Johnny Sexton could well be man of the match, quarter-final, semi-final, final.
But this is what happens behind the scenes at the PFA Player of the Year Award, is that most of the like voting is done very early in the season.
No, they pushed it later. But like, so they pushed it back to April.
But this was the template for it.
Yeah, I understand that. So. But this is even more ridiculous.
I don't understand what is going on here. It's a farcical award, an absolutely farcical, that here we are at the end of January. We haven't played the knockout stages of this competition, which it's a competition that's essentially based on the Six Nations and the business end of the European.
There's only three games left.
Gary Ringrose has been exceptional so far. There's no question about that. He deserves to be in the best 15 players of the pool stages. But if he gets injured in the Six Nations and doesn't play again, he's still on the shortlist. Ah, come on.
Yeah.
Who comes up with this nonsense?
The EPCR, Nathan. Don't blame me.
Live commentary of Leinster, Ulster, coming away in the Heineken European Champions Cup come the end of March, right here on Off the Ball. We're really looking forward to it. Great competition. All this week, we've teamed up with the Irish Heart Foundation, who want you to show some heart for the perfect match. Challenge a rival to a charity football game in aid of the Irish Heart Foundation. Sign up at irishheart.ie/perfect match. We have a pretty amazing prize to give away. We're giving you the chance to play with Kevin Kilbane and Mossy Quinn in a five-a-side game and be managed by John Giles and Brian Kerr. Get to play it myself and Dave as well. Richie?
Not as much, Nathan.
You going to play?
I'm going to be providing commentary.
I thought I was providing commentary.
You're playing.
Fair enough. If you have a chance of winning, all you have to do is make a donation to the Irish Heart Foundation and make sure you use the hashtag OTB Irish Heart. We'll pick someone to go into the draw tonight, and the final draw will take place on Sunday. Bear in mind, you need to be available to play this coming Monday. That's Monday, January 28th, 12 midday. That is when the game is taking place. So Breach Stack will be with us in studio after 8 o'clock. Football show coming up from 9. We'll keep a close eye on what's happening with Chelsea and Spurs. But John Giles is in studio next.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.